each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. You guys are playing musical chairs over there?
Tony didn't know how to work the chair.
I didn't know.
It's been a week. I don't know how to
work the chair. Because he's been away a week and he forgets.
Yeah. You've been in California. We're so happy to have you back.
Thank you, Father.
Were surely missed,
Yes, you were.
So how was...
As I missed you guys.
How was the California?
It was, you know, this is the first time in a while I go there, you know, periodically.
Right.
See family. It's mostly to be with family. But this was the first time, and I guess it's because we took my nieces and nephews. And, you know, when you got teenagers with you, you have to go ahead and give them something to do.
Sure.
So we pretty much every day was doing something different. And I missed the times when you just sit with family. And I got to admit, I was that guy when I went there years ago. That would be me. I want to go to Disneyland.
Sure.
I want to do this. Yeah. I want to do that. I crave excitement.
Yeah.
This time around, I was sorely missing that time with the family.
You're getting older.
I'm sorry to say, but it's so true.
Everybody kept saying that to me, but I think it was a little bit more. I had a lot of time to just, you know, think. It was nice. The weather was nice.
You got a tan.
Oh, yeah, I got a tan. The first day, and I got this tan in no sun. It was just in California. When it's cloudy, the sun is still working.
That's anywhere, by the way. Yeah.
So the rays, I found out that hard way.
Yeah, that's true. I know that from Florida. So you were, where were you in California?
Where we were in Oxnard, which is like...
I've never heard of it.
It's like, it's close to L.A.
Okay.
So it's like a suburb of the city.
Southern Cal. Mm-hmm.
So all we're doing is just driving to the city back and forth. I made the mistake of going to Disneyland.
Was that you on the rides throwing up?
That was not me. You know, I always say, and just from having my nieces and nephews and always being stuck watching a Disney, you know, now that, you know, my comics, Marvel Comics is owned by Disney, Star Wars owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Disney is the devil. Destroyed everything.
Careful what you say.
Disney is the devil. I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Disney is the devil.
Okay. We're going to get calls today, you know.
Yeah, we're going to get in trouble.
So,
you're going to go call
us. Speaking of the devil, I have to have Christina share a little bit of your story.
Oh. Everything ties in.
But I just want to say, you know, that's, and I've always been a stick in the mud. I think it's probably because I've come from a big family, and I was the second oldest, but the oldest boy. And so, you know, it's always, woe was me, oh, woe was me. I had to bear responsibility and... You know, maybe that's why I'm so law and order. And, you know, my father would say, you got to keep the family
together. That's a good thing.
He was in Vietnam. You keep the family together. You mess up, they're going to mess up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do remember, you know, as we were kids, we'd pass an amusement park or nothing big like a Disney World or Disneyland, but you know, where they've got the rides and all that, and I would sit there and think, oh, I wish we could go. My father would never, we never had fun. We didn't, you know, we had fun. He kept us in sports and all that. It was good, but that kind of fun was not, we just weren't allowed. Big family, you couldn't afford it, I guess. I remember thinking, fantasizing about being able to, you know, just be turned loose in one of those amusement parks. And then when I got into high school, we were in Florida at that time, and my buddies or the friends that I had in high school, you know, they'd spend their summers out on the beach. We have beautiful beaches down there, and my father would not allow it. I had to get a lawnmower, mow grass. Yeah. You know, Florida lawns are big lawns, so I'd be out there all day and doing one lawn in the sun, humidity, hot humidity, humid weather, and I'd see them, you know, as they'd go off to the park, beaches, and I always felt like I was
left out.
But I tell you, it's I never since. Two things I don't like, you know, just the thought of going to an amusement park at the Disney World. I did it once with the family, but like you, I was just being dragged around. And
see, that's, you just described what happened, because it's like, I'm the same way. Things like that never really excited me. I mean, it's like even like Great America. I've maybe in my life gone to Great America once or twice, and that was maybe three times when I was younger. Now I have no desire.
Exactly.
I guess it's the young, and these people in California, this is a yearly, they
sure,
do this all
course,
the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think to myself, why? I mean, it's a lot of money to get in, and don't get me wrong, it's a good thing. You really can't eat there. Everything is so expensive, and that's what I mean. It's like, I have that experience too, because, you know, I like comic books, so sometimes I go to the comic cons that happens every year. Okay, the same thing. There's lines and lines and lines. And I think about, and this is like just recently I've been doing this, where I think about, look at all these people putting all this time into something.
Sure.
And it's for, you know, it's for a personal type thing. But then it's like, you think about all the money and all that, you know, it's just,
I am really getting old.
And a lot of our parishioners' families take their
kids.
We never went either to Disneyland or Disney World. Neither of those.
Right. No, that's
we couldn't afford it.
A lot of our students in the school during the Christmas, even Christmas break or the spring break, they during the summer,
there.
You know, they go down there, and you know, why not? But amusement parks and malls. Yeah. My sisters ruined the malls for me, because I got my driver's license, and so I wanted to, you know.
Drive.
My father had the car, so, you know, I could drive, you know. He didn't have to now drive everybody here and there. I was driving. I was the chauffeur for the family, and they were. And that's when the malls were just starting to. I think they had just built the first mall in Florida, in this part of Florida, and so my sisters always wanted to go, and I'd sit in the car and wait, and I guess I was sick of the. I can't go into a mall. I told you, you know, I saw the movie The Passion
in the mall.
In the mall, and I hated it because it was in the mall, so I had to go to
a regular theater.
Yeah, but anyway, that's. But welcome back. We're happy to have you back.
It's good to be
Tony.
Good to have you. We missed you for sure. It's been a interesting week, busy week as always. It's always busy, but a lot of controversial things going on too.
I was just telling Christina's dad, it's like I've been away from the TV and been away from the radio, so I don't know what's going on. Ready to jump back in and see what's going on.
Yeah, I've tried to address, you know, I felt this obligation to address the immigration, the need for a just immigration reform, and it's although I have to say, you know, on Sunday I got very, very positive comments. A little bit of pushback here and there, but I'll tell you a lot of, because I tried to lay out the church's position, you know, what are the principles of a just Catholic, or what would I say, a Catholic vision for a just immigration reform. And but anyway, I'm not necessarily going to get into that today, but it's just been a source of controversy. The whole stuff that's going on in the nation today is really it's hard to know how to confront, or how can we bring some healing and peace and try to bring some resolution to a lot of the issues that are very divisive and very sensitive issues, because they involve human life. And so to try to get into a discussion on that is very, very hard. I was talking to I call him a friend now, but He called me last week and really, strongly challenged me on the.
It's funny, Father. If I may, just for a short, this is interesting too because we had a conversation on Sunday. We went to church, and Angelica met up with somebody, a cousin, somebody that we see here too, and we were just talking about a priest, how. Oh, this priest was saying this and that, and people were feeling odd. They felt, you know, the things he was saying, they felt scolded.
Sure.
And I went into my, you should see my pastor, Father Tony. He's always concerned about, you know, how people take what he's saying. He's always trying to.
We're talking about this,
and then I go home, and I'm thinking, okay, I got some quiet moment. I'm gonna play the show, and I listen.
I didn't get to Friday's show, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, this is how God works." We were just talking about this situation, and then I have to catch up. I don't know everything about it, but it was just funny.
That is, interesting. I was speaking to this a gentleman who called, and we've had a few conversations actually, and very interesting. You know, we're coming from different. Different perspectives and all that, but he's very passionate, extremely passionate, and he's really immersed in a lot of these things. Whereas I, as much as I'd like to be, I can't.
There's
I try to listen
time.
From a.
Yeah.
There's just no time. Yeah. I'm dealing with human crises. All that. I say this is like the intensive care unit of a hospital. You know, it's like an emergency room. We just never know what's coming through the door, but it's up front. Touching the wounds of people, you know, but anyway, what was the point that I wanted to make? I don't know. Oh, just the can we have civil discourse? Mm-hmm. Can we have a discussion? And he seems to think that we cannot. And maybe because I received a message email this morning because I've had a lot of, by the way, Christine, a lot of comments now based on. The homily and the letter this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. And while there's been some pushback, there's just been a lot of people who said, they wanted to thank me for the clarification and because they're dealing with this as well. Mm-hmm. And what is the church's position? And it's a very balanced position, but, we have a preferential option for the poor. For the least among us, and that's why we have a full commitment to life from the, as they say, from the womb to the tomb. All people are God's people. We're created in the image and likeness of God, and we have to do what we can. We have an obligation to uphold the dignity of all people. But at the same time, it begs from us a respect for. Certainly the laws of God, which is, you read the scripture, and it's just, you can't get away from that. It's just everywhere. Jesus opened the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, and then he went right into the don't think I've come to do away with the law, not anything of the law, but I've come to, he says, you don't take not a period, not a comma, not a colon, nothing from the law, but I come to fulfill. And as I've said many times, you've heard me say this, to take you beyond that, beyond the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, into a life of high virtue, which is really the work of the Spirit in us. And yet, we live in a society that, because we're not steeped in the Word of God, because we're not really, in all honesty, as you look around, as you deal with people, even as people come here all the time in crisis, whether it be the marriage, whether it be children who have gone a bad way, just some really heart-wrenching, very, very, very sad experiences. And by the time they get here, usually they're at the point where it's you can't fix it. Right. It's just you gotta live with the consequences of. Bad behavior or misguided behavior or selfishness on the part of one or another or delving into or being buying into the illusion or the seduction or the allurement of really, let's just call it the free reign of the flesh. Mm-hmm. as a scripture does, if we give free reign to the flesh of its very nature, that'll eventually it's enslaving. It has the capacity to divide, destroy, enslave. And that's why, you know, the challenge is submit to the Spirit of God. But if we're not nurturing that, if we're not nurturing our life in God on a day-to-day basis, it has to happen constantly. Today, I think, I've said it before, but, you know, the obligation we have is to assist in the Holy Mass every Sunday. That's the Sabbath. That's the holy day in the New Covenant. And we have an obligation to give public witness and worship on Sunday. It used to be when the nation had respect for the laws of God that Sunday was a day of rest. It was, you know, stores were closed. Going back to when I was just a child, it was a very healthy thing because there were, restaurants were even closed. Many stores were closed. I mean, stores, mm-hmm. restaurants, because the society had a sensitivity to these laws, and this was a day, it was Sabbath, day of rest, a day to give public witness and worship, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the day spent with the family, mm-hmm. and, you know, all that stuff, and that was, you know, today that's not the case. And no. So the point being is that as we deviate, there's a point that I want to make. So while that's the obligation, and it still is the obligation. We have an obligation, a responsibility. I say that today we need to go to Mass often,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like many times, maybe every day, just to keep ourselves grounded in and steeped in the mysticism of the Church and the Word of God, and being fed with the Eucharistic gift, that hidden manna, the bread from heaven, that we not collapse as we go on our way, or that we're not going to get swept away by this or that or whatever. You know, there's so many ideologies, and there's so many things, so many gods with little g's that have the potential, if we're not grounded, to sweep us away, to allure us into this or that or whatever, you know, all the deceptions. And so it's very hard to sift through all that stuff. And I find when I feel like I'm going crazy, then I know that I have to create the space, do what I do. And I've said it before, and Christina, I have to go often to the chapel just to kind of recenter myself mm-hmm. in Christ, and to try and examine my conscience and discern what's going on, what's happening, and how do I respond as a father, you know, priest? How do I respond? What is my responsibility? How do I fulfill my obligation that has been given me as a gift, but imposed on me by God? For the better, for the good of the people. But I do that in an imperfect way, as the Scripture says, and it's so true. We hold the gift in earthen vessels, and so that's why we need to be in constant discernment and constant dialogue, and so that we're not leading the people down a path that is, not doing them a service, mm-hmm. or maybe even destructive to them. But I find what happens is so often when people come. And I'm not here to, and certainly I treat with great sensitivity, because I know that we're all affected by the world we live in. Nobody can go through this life unscathed. And so the culture has radically changed. We're going to take a break and we'll come back, and I want Christina to share something here, and then this will maybe bring me into this we just had the Feast of St. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New Testament, or the bridge that links the two, the Old and the New Covenant. But but as people come, what's so sad is, and so often they say, you know, I'm going to come back to God, come back to the faith. Well, that's good. But, you know, I have to remind them that, you know, God isn't a magician. He's not going to, I can't wave a wand. Mm-hmm. God isn't going to wave a wand and make all this go away. You've got to be willing to enter into the discipline mm-hmm. of the faith, and the faith is a discipline, and that's what we don't want, this discipline today, sad to say. And so we buy into, or we We give ourselves over to the ways of the world. Again, very seductive, very alluring, the illusion that is out there so often. And well, there are consequences. There are consequences. And I tell people, I say, just open your eyes and look around and see, you know. But we're up against the culture, and I don't know what it's going to take to change it, but you get the point that I'm making. Mm-hmm. So if we're not steeped, I mean, this was one of the readings, maybe I'll bring that up today, but we've got all this stuff over here. If we're not steeped in the Word of God, and when I say steeped in the Word of God, we're not, you know, we don't approach sacred scripture in a fundamental way. We read the full counsel of God, how everything is woven together. There's a narrative through the whole of sacred scripture, and it's a narrative that's being that is spoken in the midst of chaos and confusion and conflict and fidelity, infidelities, highs and lows, times of great sanctity, times of great scandal. I mean, it's just part of the reality of life in this world as we make our way from here to there, until we rest in God at the end of all things. But it's today, it just seems to me, because society has changed so much, radically changed, and is changing so fast, that you wonder, what is it going to take to bring us to our senses, or to bring us back to appreciate the need for God, the need for the faith, and knowing, you know, again, before you point the finger at someone else, you got to point it to yourself. Or what did Jesus say? Before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. And so the issue of I can certainly point to all the stuff happening outside the church. Well, the church is not on the top of a mountain. She's in the dirt of life and very much affected by that dirt. It's just a reality. We can't escape. We can't flee into a desert. Although we have to from time to time. That's why I say we go to the chapel. We go to our inner chamber, and we discern, or we try to nurture our intimacy with God, learn to recognize His voice and what He's speaking in the deep recesses of the soul, and that this is reflective of what the church is teaching. The church has the deposit of faith, but if we don't, we're in the dirt of life, and so we're very much affected by the world we live in, and so we then have to, and certainly approach people with that kind of sensitivity that, you know, God can bring good out of evil and life out of darkness, or light out of darkness and life out of death. We just have to be, we have to stay with Him. But it means you've got to get into the discipline of the faith. And if you don't, then these evils, and they become evils, or the sickness, what becomes a sickness, the stuff that's going on in your life and the life of the family and society is just going to continue to perpetuate itself, right? Mm-hmm. But there's this kind of allergic reaction to the church and the faith of the church, for good reason, because we don't want the discipline of the faith. But again, before we take the speck out of our brother's eye, we got to take the plank out of our own. We have to look within ourselves and see, what are we doing? How do we authenticate the faith? How do we? And we're all over the place, you know. Even as a church, it's messy. If it's messy out there, it's messy in here as well. And so it's because we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world, but we're lovers of life, you know. And so I always think of what Jesus says, you know, the night before He died. He says, you know, He says, Father, I thank You for these You've given me as a gift, and I ask that You not, and He's not referring only to the disciples, but He's looking down through history. He sees all of us. He said that in His high priestly prayer. But He says, I ask You not yet to take them out of the world, but do protect them from the evil one, you know. And before he went into that high priestly prayer, he tried to emphasize to the disciples, to the apostles, the need to protect and safeguard unity, to remain on this narrow path. This is a very difficult path, he said. You know, the church isn't going to deceive us. I think sometimes today we've fallen into that trap. We want a good feel religion. Mm-hmm. Everything is easy, or everything is to our liking. We don't want to be challenged. We don't rock the boat. You know, Jesus always says he didn't go through life tiptoeing through the tulips. You know, he was a very strong man, a very powerful man, and you know, for this he was crucified. Mm-hmm. But to domesticate Christ Jesus, to pick and choose, you know, the niceties, you know, so he goes back to the emphasis on the law. He says, you know, I'm not taking anything of this away, but I come to fulfill and to bring you even beyond the law into a life of high virtue. Well, that means, you know, it is this narrow path, a difficult path. And as he said, very few can stay on this path. It's so true. And thank God, Peter said, well, how can man be saved? And he says, for man, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. Thank God he said that as well, you know? So these are challenging times. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And then, Christina, maybe share a little bit of this story, because it kind of about the man... Pope Francis Mexico, he went. There was a man who was very disturbed, mm-hmm. and he prayed over him. Many people thought it was an exorcism. In fact, it wasn't. But the man eventually ended up in Rome. Is that what you said?
Yes, to the head exorcist.
Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
And that seems almost kind of sensational when you were telling it to me.
But there is a truth that there has needs been more demand on exorcism.
Well, that's a fact.
Yes,
that's a fact.
Yes.
And I can see.
Yeah,
yes.
something is awry. Something is a miss.
But again, like you said, Father, when we distance ourselves from God and His law, this is what happens.
It most definitely does, mm-hmm. and that's a fact, and that we know that from just all we've. And see, this is we're disconnected from history.
Yes.
When we no longer know where we've come from, mm-hmm. when we no longer we fall into the same traps.
Yes.
And anyway, gosh, we're almost midway into the show.
Already,
I'm so sorry, Nick.
Fast.
Anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Tony. We're so happy to have
you back.
Welcome back.
So, Christina, without, you know, and I really don't like the sensational. In fact, I was just writing about this. That's what I react to is, and this is what disturbs me in the what's going on in the nation. It just seems like everything is sensationalized and politicized, and you know, it's like we can't have a civil conversation, mm-hmm. you know, because we're no longer grounded. That's my sense. So, but I do, I did find it interesting. You don't have to go into the details, but, so Christina was sharing with me this morning about, she had a conversation with one of our parishioners from Mexico who was telling her about the
whole situation.
Yeah, go ahead. Give a little bit of
The violence. And so I don't know if people saw when Pope Francis went, was it that he went to Mexico?
He was in Mexico twice, maybe, or once.
So that video went viral where he went, there was this man sitting on the chair and he started, you know, having
convulsing.
And so he laid his hands over his head and started praying for him, and people automatically thought, oh, he performed an exorcism. Well, that wasn't an exorcism. He's not an exorcist, a trained exorcist.
Right.
So what he was doing was, they explained that he was just doing a prayer of liberation, trying to deliver, but it wasn't an exorcism. And actually the man was taken to Rome with the head exorcist. He's older. He's had, I don't know, over 1,000 experience. I don't know how many years of experience.
I think he just recently died, but I think.
But he was an older priest, and so he did perform several exorcisms on the man, and there were, and the interview that I saw, the man had 4 demons. There were 4 demons. He was possessed by 4 demons. They didn't say the names, but I, like, you know, Father, when they perform an exorcism, they have to know who it is, who they're dealing with. So they ask them, who are you? And then they say their names and how many and all that. So the exorcist asked him and said, why are you here? What is your purpose of being, leave him alone? And they said, oh, well, we're here because people don't realize that, and we're being forced by her, which when they meant her, the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, they said, she's forcing us to say, we don't want to confess this because we don't want people to know what's going on. But she's crushing our head, and so she's forcing us to say why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they confess that as right after Mexico legalized abortion, that was the main issue, abortion, they also legalized same-sex marriage in Mexico City. Now, that doesn't mean that all the states in Mexico have legalized, but Mexico City is the main one. After they legalized that, that's where the problems with the violence with the cartels began. And they said people don't realize that when you go against the law, God's law, this is what's going to happen. This is why we're here. And if they do stop, if they take that law away, there's going to be peace in Mexico with the violence and the cartels. But as long as they have that law, it's going to continue and it's going to get worse. Mexico's going to self-destruct. And I thought, well, this is what's happening to our country. Well, we have abortion. And so they said, and they also confessed that a lot of the bishops are not, they're not defending the church as far as keeping to the true teachings of the church. They're not doing their job. They're being wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, this is why we're here, and people...
what's interesting, you mentioned some more. And I say, on one hand, it seems kind of sensational, but I'm looking at it from another
perspective,
because I had just written about this as well, not the devil per se, but we are in a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And you know, in the scriptures, what's interesting is that the first recognition of Jesus as the Messiah in the Gospels, it wasn't the apostles or the disciples, those who were very close to Christ. You know, even up to the time that he was on the to the eve of his death, his crucifixion, our redemption. He's approaching the Paschal mystery. You know, that triduum, the suffering, death, and resurrection, which is our redemption, our salvation. But as he's approaching that, you know, because we're in the messianic moment, and his identity was hidden up to toward the end. He just shared with the apostles. I mean, there was that one point where he asked them, he says, okay, I've been with you this long, nearly 3 years, because it's right before he made his last trip to Jerusalem, where he would be, to the holy city, where he was going to be arrested and interrogated and crucified. But so he took the apostles all the way to the north, to Caesarea Philippi, and it was there that he, before the mountain of the God, or the gods, you know, which is very interesting. We were there. Were you with me?
Yes.
It's so fantastic. Yes. But we were there, and he took them purposely there. He took them about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee to the most northern part of Israel, which is on the border of Lebanon today. And he says, and there's this huge rock wall, and it was they had the niches for the different gods. And he says, so against this rock, he asked the question, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? He says, you're a great prophet, that kind of great teacher and all that. I said, but but you've been with me now 3 years. Who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter said, Simon, he says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know, Simon, no mere man has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, Simon, you are Peter, and upon, which means rock, and upon this rock, not that rock, but upon this rock, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And then later, when Jesus talks about his impending death, crucifixion and death, Peter said, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you. I will defend you. He says, you're going to defend me. He says, get behind me, Satan. He says, you think you're going to defend me? Before the cock crows, you will have three times denied you even know me. But as we get to that time, you know, so even after Peter declared him the Christ, even as we get close to the event of the arrest and the suffering, the death of Jesus, Jesus is expressing, he expresses his frustration. He says, you don't know me. You've been with me. You've seen me. I've revealed it, but you still don't know me. There's a point where he really turns his attention away from everybody toward the Father, because he knows he's doing this for love of the Father, and he has to enter into this.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said that, often he, even when he performed miracles or whatever, and people would try to declare him a Messiah, his messianic identity was hidden, purposely hidden, until the appropriate time when he was ready to reveal who he was, because he's pointing beyond himself to the Father. But those who did recognize him from the very, very beginning were the demons, the demons who spoke to him from the possessed, and he did exorcisms. We know who you are. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Holy One of God. You know, what have you come to do to us? You've got, you know, there's this whole dialogue that goes on. So and by the way, you're right about the fact that the need for exorcisms has risen unbelievably.
Yes.
No mere priest can do an exorcism. You have to be trained. You have to be given permission. You have to be, in a sense, commissioned.
And the exorcisms have to be done in the language in Latin, right?
I don't know if it's. Well, I've got the rite upstairs. It's
in Latin.
In Latin, yeah.
Another thing that I I forgot to mention that, you know how we talk about history? I mean, history repeats itself. So in Mexico, we all know when the Aztecs were performing the human sacrifices. Right. And then with Our Lady's apparition, all of that was stopped. And so the demons did confess that back then, when they stopped with our Blessed Mother, they were driven away. But once the law, again, when abortion was legalized, they're back.
Well, see, that's the point I wanted to make, because that was when you were talking this morning. Uh-huh. I was thinking about that because, see, all this is related. You know, the Mother Teresa said this. She said, you know, when a nation can abort its children, mm-hmm. then I forgot something to the effect that this is there are consequences, and one thing leads to another thing.
Yeah,
you know. And it really, it all begins with the free reign of the flesh. I say we're passing through a diabolical sure. disorientation. Everything is upside down. What's right is wrong. What's right, wrong is right. And but what was interesting when you were speaking about this morning, I thought about that, yes. that Our Lady of Guadalupe, because the Spaniards were, you know, they raped the land. They, mm-hmm. you know, they were conquerors.
Yeah.
And yes, so there were some converts. So they brought sure. the Franciscans and the Jesuits and the Dominicans with yeah. them, but you know, to convert or to bring the faith, mm-hmm. and but with little success, because of course the Indians and all that yeah. saw what the conquerors were doing, sure. and so but with the apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe. The greatest mass conversion mm-hmm. ever in the history of the human race, as far as we know, certainly in Judeo-Christianity. But with that apparition, because God had prepared the people for this visitation, mm-hmm. and she appeared, you know, pregnant with child. You know, she asked for a temple. For what mm-hmm. reason? Because in the temple, what happens? But the Holy Mass is celebrated, and mm-hmm. and Christ is basically born again for yes. us every time we approach the Eucharistic gift, which is Jesus, you know, touching the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord touches us in this mystical way that really transcends anything we can feel or know. It's incomprehensible, but it's something we've always accepted in faith. But with the apparition, you had this mass conversion, 7 to 9 million, I don't remember, mm-hmm. I always don't know if it's 7 or 9, mm-hmm. but a million Indians in a short period of time, because they knew how to read the apparition. They were prepared. God prepares his people yes. for this. But as you said, what happened was immediately the sacrifice, human sacrifice, and the sacrifice of the infants came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Came to an end. And so interestingly, when you talked about the legalization mm-hmm. of abortion, you know, all this other stuff, you know, follows.
Yes.
And so, and I was even talking with I call him my friend now, you know. you know, we were talking last night for quite some time, mm-hmm. and I kept wanting to break off. I had so many things to do, and sure. but I couldn't hang up, you know. Mm. And, but the, what was the point that I was going to make now about, he agreed as well, that I remember as a young seminarian, yeah. I traveled to Mexico. I didn't even know the language,
sure.
and I traveled by myself, and it was beautiful.
There was
and the
no
people
problem.
Were everywhere I went. I was received with. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful.
The families and the, yeah.
Today, and you talked to we talked to our own people here who are afraid to go down there.
Yes.
Because of what's going
it's
on,
dangerous.
And we know what a lot of it's very dangerous because of the drug cartels mm-hmm. and. We can not get in, but it is especially in certain parts of Mexico, it's horrible.
It's a tragedy.
Now it's also feeding the vices of our people,
the US,
you know,
yeah.
and so the same thing is happening in our nation. So I thinking about that, something has gone awry, because and we've talked about this before, but the radical difference between today's reality. Mm-hmm. contrasted with the reality I knew. And one of the things we in this discussion we had yesterday, we're not going to go back. You know, we cannot go back. Things have changed too yeah. much. But that doesn't mean we cannot come to a deeper understanding of our faith and who we are and how we're to live in a manner that is obedient to the direction given us by Christ.
Yes,
that there be law, that there be order, that there be mercy, that there be justice, that we be a people who are a loving people.
And Father, and I forgot to add, they did mention something else about if people knew the powerful, the weapon, the rosary, for one. It's like every time someone prays the rosary, it's like Satan's being receiving blows in the head. That's what the demons have. And another thing is that they said if, and that's where Our Lady has called the bishops to consecrate their diocese to our, to the, well, the,
sure.
the Blessed Mother, but to the Lord. And that's the importance of consecration, of prayer, adoration, all of that. And I know you've consecrated the parish.
Well, absolutely, yes. And that was at the request of Our Lady, and I don't hold back. I don't apologize. I mean, I unapologetically told the people that she asked that we consecrate the parish to her.
Yes.
For a purpose, for a plan, whatever that is. And we're 20 years later, and we're still, this is still kind of, we got to take another break. We'll come back, and gosh, this hour is going really, really fast.
Yes,
Don't go away. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th.
at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, so everything is connected, you know. It's mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, and this is part of the, I think, the frustration. And in fact, I received a message from somebody today too, and this was a comment on the homily and how she appreciated the clarifications and all that. And but she was mm-hmm. saying, you know, how this I'm not going to mention the name, mm-hmm. but somebody who's got a blog space, very popular Catholic blogger, is that what they call it? And he's been getting a lot of pushback, and his spiritual director told him, you know, that advised him to stop trying to discuss with people so many things, because it's harder to have any kind of civil discourse. It's, you know, shouting down and that kind of stuff.
It's kind of going back to, you just mentioned earlier, Father, with the what Jesus said about the disciples. You've been with me and you still don't know me. It's like people don't know him. They don't get it.
Because we're not with him. That's the problem. Now, those who are with him,
of course.
And again, I always say the more I know God, the more I don't know mm-hmm. God. The more mysterious he is,
yes.
The more I love him, the more I don't know that I love him, you know?
Yes,
and I
yes.
do, but you get the point.
Sure.
Which is a beautiful thing, I think, mm-hmm. because, you know, we throw ourselves into the mystery, and I find great freedom in that. But see, today, if you say, like we mentioned, abortion, you know, it's... you know, our commitment to life. You know, immediately, you know, we hate women. Okay, this is you're yep. hateful to women. You're not respectful of the rights of women. No, it's just that we feel we have a strong commitment to life, to marriage. You know, if we argue the, you know, and we have an obligation. You know, mm-hmm. I just don't at how we so flippantly redefined marriage. Where does that stop? You know, and we stand against that redefinition, but then that all of a sudden, you know, we're homophobic, or mm-hmm. we hate gays and lesbians. I even hate using those words because it just seems like a classification of just, you know, I always say to people, you know, we're again, the obsession mm-hmm. with sex is not the church's obsession. That's the society's obsession.
Yeah.
When I look at you, I'm not looking at, you know, your... however you want to identify yourself, I'm looking at the full person you are.
Yeah, the creation, God's creation.
God looks at us. He sees the rough edges, but he's the artist. We're the work of his hand. His focus is on who we are.
Yes.
And we're supposed to approach people in such a way mm-hmm. as well. But that doesn't mean, you know, we have an obligation to protect and safeguard the full counsel of mm-hmm. God, because those laws were given to protect us. To protect our civilization, or to bring us into a civil society, and so when we push God out of the way, relegate God to his mm-hmm. heaven beyond, mm-hmm. Then you know there are consequences, because whether we're conscious of it or not, we come under the dominion of Satan. It doesn't mean we're possessed. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said he's the father of lies and the prince of darkness. He's the prince of this world. And he is, what does he do? He divides and conquers, mm-hmm. destroys. So that even with the immigration reform, that if you try to, it's a broken system. You know, so, you know, with the feverish tension that is out there, you know, I feel an obligation to, you know, these are the principles, Catholic social principles for a just immigration system. I lay those out, and in the mind of some, all of a sudden you are anti-immigrant, or you are racist, or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, and that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. So, I mean, anybody in the right mind, I would say in the right mind, none of us are really in our right mind, I wonder, these days, but I tell you, if we don't, if we can't find our way back, mm-hmm. and let me just say, not to the institution. Mm-hmm. The institution has its issues. But because the church is in history, by that nature, it's institutionalized. But it's the mystical body. Until we can get back into the mysticism of the church, that means we're really nurturing life in God. It's not about, you know, entertainment. It's not, we're not going to put on a show. I'm not here to... You know, I always say, if I'm not a I'm not a clown. No, it's just to give it to you straight. This is the way, you know, it's, I always say, the full counsel of God. But we enter into those mysteries, the sacred mysteries, and we celebrate the Holy Mass in the way that, you know, we're supposed to. And that is that, you know, we humbly come before the Lord in gratitude for the gift of life. And we come because we do forget, and we do get, and we do deviate. We're not staying on that path. And so we come to be reminded, and we come in gratitude to enter into this mystery, to offer our lives, to surrender, to entrust our lives to God in and through Christ Jesus as we're offering that holy sacrifice. That's the sacrifice that Our Lady Guadalupe introduced to the people of Mexico, was this sacrifice. In other words, she's going to bring to end the sacrifice, human sacrifice, and bring the sacrifice that is the sacred mystery of our faith, the source of our life, and that is God who came, offered himself, and remains with us in this sacrament. I hadn't thought of that, you know, so that even when Jesus came, see, in his death, and he said it would happen, because in the temple, Judaism had their priesthood, they had their sacrifices, right? Sacrifice of lambs and the goats and the bulls and all that. He brings an end with his suffering, death, and resurrection. The temple, in fact, is destroyed. The priesthood ceases to exist, and all sacrifice comes to an end. The only sacrifice that remains is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, who suffered death that we be set free from our slavery to sin and death. We have yet to die. We're still in history. We are sinners. And so that single one sacrifice on the hill of Calvary, on Golgotha, is renewed and perpetuated, as Jesus said it would be, until he comes at the end of time. And in the interim, in this, what we call now the last days from the time of Jesus until the present, until he comes, we continue to enter into that mystery because we are sinful people. We've yet to die, and we're in spiritual battle, and we have to fight the good fight. We have to weather the storms. We have to take care of each other on the way, lift each other up. But see, when we go away,
deviate,
relegate this, you know, get it out of here, get him out of here, then the devil steps in, and he's conniving, he's deceiving, and Jesus says he would be. He comes as an angel of light, but he's the father of lies and the prince of darkness.
He's so confusing, what confuses people that are not in tune with the Lord, because he knows the truth, and what he does, he mixes the truth with lies.
He's a deceiver.
Yeah,
he's a deceiver.
It's confusing.
Anyway, keep your eyes on Jesus, you know.
Yes.
Be grounded in the Lord. This is we got to, how do we, anyway. We could use another hour, maybe 2 hours. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Well, we will get to St. John the Baptist, because this is very, very important for our time. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide, the winds have changed. what you say when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?